Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 21st, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the seventh Sunday of Easter, which will also be our recognition, our consideration of the ascension of our Lord Jesus. It's a joy to welcome you here. It's a gift that we all receive to be together in this way, to consider the Word of God, to consider sacred song and prayer and silence. So let's begin this celebration by celebrating life itself and taking in the breath of life and letting it go. And let's repeat that. Take it in and let it out, to breathe and to give thanks to God for every breath. And to turn, all of us, turn our faces toward the heavens, toward the sky. Look upward. Consider those things that are good and beautiful and life-affirming. The people and the places. The memories that light you up inside. Thank God for all of it. And in this posture, let us begin together in worship. Join with me in the opening prayer. You can find that printed in the bulletin, which rides just below where you found the podcast today. There's a notes tab there. You tap on it, click on it, and it will come up for you. Let's begin. Risen and ascended Christ, you surround us with witnesses and send us the counselor who opens our minds to understand your teaching. Bless us with such grace that our lives may become a blessing for the world now and in the age to come. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Acts in the first chapter, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, They went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Join with me in a spirit of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word alive among us. We pray, O God, that you would anoint us with this word, inspire us with this word, enliven us with this word, activate us with your good and holy word. We pray, save us from distraction and misinterpretation. Help us to hear what it is you have to say to us in this time. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. This story of the ascension of Jesus can be a stumbling block if we try to approach it so literally that we miss the beauty and the mystery and the power of everything that's happening in the telling within the Acts of the Apostles, within Luke's telling of the account. The Gospel of John alludes to it, even though we don't get the specific accounting of it. But here on this hilltop, Jesus' disciples are there being taught and blessed by their rabbi, and they still have questions. They still don't have a clarity as to what all of this has been about. Even after the resurrection of their Lord, they're still curious about when things are really going to happen. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Surely now, after all of this, heck, you died and you came back to life. Now must be the time when we put the Romans in their place. Now must be the time when we can reclaim the temple for everybody. We can cast out the corrupt politicians, reform and revitalize. Now surely will be the time when you will rise up like our David. Now must be the time. And he replied, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Now's not the time for the thing that you're imagining is going to happen. So what I need to do, as he's promised previously, that what needs to happen now is for him to go, to return to the Father, and for them to receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And in this moment, powerful, mysterious moment, he ascends. He leaves them with the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit that is to come. He commissions them to be his witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to all of the populated and known world. And after he says this, he is lifted up. As it says in Acts, when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And as you can imagine, they're transfixed, they're awestruck. And while he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. I mean, just staring, watching every second of it until the point where they could no longer see him. And still they were looking, waiting maybe, right, for some explosion, some horn to blow, a charging of a legion of angels. But no, he was gone. Gone from their vision, gone from their sight, which brings to mind a poem by that same name, Gone From My Sight. It is a poem that maybe you've heard read at funerals or memorial services. I've used it myself. The poet says this: I am standing upon a seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the moving breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength. I stand and watch her until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud, just where the sea and sky come to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, there, she is gone. Gone where? Gone from my sight. That is all. She is just as large in mast, hull, and spar as she was when she left my side, and she is just as able to bear her load of living freight to her destined port. Her diminished size is in me, not in her. And just at that moment when someone says, there, she is gone, there are other eyes watching her coming and other voices ready to take up the glad shout, here she comes. And that is dying. And that, I think, is also a helpful way for us to understand the ascension. That maybe we read this poem in the context of disciples standing on the hill with their rabbi, receiving their final commission and blessings in this earthly life of his, resurrected earthly life. They are standing, rather than at the seashore, they stand on the hill, Jesus by their side, who spreads his arms and the fullness of his robe, waving in the breeze. And as he commissions and blesses, promises the power of the Holy Spirit and tells them to tell the world about who he is and why he has come, he begins to ascend to the heavens, or perhaps for us, for the sake of this illustration, to see him then walk down the hill and up the next and over the horizon until he walks out of their sight. And they continue to look at the horizon, the last point where they could see him, and maybe Matthew says to James, there he is gone. And at that same moment, in the realm of the kingdoms of the heavens, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, united voices of angels celebrate the return of the Son. Here he comes. And yet, he is fully alive in the hearts and in the minds of the ones he gathered from this world, to whom he was revealed. And the men in white say, What are you looking at? Why do you stare at the horizon? Why are you looking up at the sky? This Jesus, he'll return the same way he came, in mystery and in glory and in power. So they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. It wasn't too far. And they went home. And their response to it all was to get together in the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. What's the response? How is it that they will take up the commission that they've been given to spread this gospel? They devote themselves to prayer, to telling and retelling the story. Scripture for them would be what we know as the Old Testament. But they would tell themselves the stories that we know as the Gospels. And they spent 10 days doing this. From the day of this ascension to the day that is coming, which we will celebrate next week, Pentecost. 10 days of prayer and scripture, of presence with one another, being equipped, opening their minds and their hearts to the Word of God so that 10 days later, they would be able to receive the gift that was promised. This is a crucial point for us because I want this to be a challenge that we all take on, well, over the next 7 days, assuming you're listening to this on a Sunday. And maybe it's right before Pentecost, or maybe you've discovered this podcast at some other point. But whenever it is your starting point is, challenge yourself to be in prayer and immersed in this gospel, our scriptures, for 10 days. Find others that you might be able to engage in it with. And if you don't have folks that are physically present with you, things like this podcast and many other great resources that are available online, allow them to be your prayer partners. Because this is the mission, to be in relationship with God. It does make a difference what you believe. It does make a difference for your ability to name the source of hope and strength that is a saving relationship with our Lord Jesus. I came across this quote from a book. John V. Taylor wrote a book entitled The Go-Between God. In it, he says this: to engage in the mission of God, therefore, is to live this life of prayer, praying without ceasing, as St. Paul puts it. That is to say, sustaining a style of life that is focused upon God, that is indeed to engage in the mission of the Holy Spirit by being rather than doing. To realize that the heart of the mission is communion with God in the midst of the world's life will save us from the demented activism of these days. That is to say, I believe, this often angry, reflexive, compulsive, flash action in response to the injustices of the world. Demented, I understand, right, as behaving wildly or irrationally. And I believe what John Taylor is getting at is we respond in a much more godly, healing, and eternal way when we live every day prayerfully and focused on the Word of God, the presence of God with us, the reality that God is not in some remote, distant corner of the universe. That God is just over the horizon, just out of the sight of our eyes, but very much present in Scripture and in prayer and in sacrament. Very much present when we break the bread and pour the cup and name the name of Jesus. This power, this gift, this helper, this Holy Spirit is with us. And when we ground ourselves in that, if our very being is in Christ, then our very life is to engage the world in the way of God's justice. It's all over the Gospels. Jesus resists the temptations of the devil. He denounces religious, misguided religious piety. He casts out demons. He heals the sick. He eats with the unclean, the sinners. He forgives sins. He preaches a blessing upon the poor and a warning to the rich. He defied the politically connected. He realigned the warped visions of God's kingdom. What does it look like for the kingdom of the heavens to appear? It looks like enough to eat. It looks like a blessing. It looks like forgiveness and grace and peace. It looks like the rabbi who washes the feet of his disciples. To the end of his life, he dies gracious and merciful, and then returns to the Father by offering a blessing to the ones he knows and loves best and most, and invites us to do the same. So please, I encourage you, give yourself the gift. Open the gift. It's right there in front of you. Open the gift of prayer in Scripture. If prayer is difficult for you, just understand it as approaching a conversation. And if God feels strange to you, treat it like a conversation of introducing yourself to a stranger, because trust me, you are no stranger to God. Bibles are available everywhere if you don't have one in your house. If you're listening to this podcast, then you must have internet access. They're everywhere. However it is, without having to feel like you've got it right or perfected it in some way, begin with this. Devote yourselves to prayer, to asking God to show you the way, and to prepare that way, and to provide you the people and the places and the resources. And you will find that this Jesus, whom they tell the story of his ascension up into the clouds, out of their sight, you will find that he is near as your next breath. That is eternal and beautiful good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we come together and we ask, often we ask, when, O God, will everything be made right? And give us the faith to receive the gift and the promise, to know that these things all happen in your time. Bless us with the power of your Holy Spirit, with the strength and the courage to pray and to respond in your name. Help us to watch the horizon for your return and gather together with the faithful to pray, to tell the stories of our faith, to sing the songs of our faith, to cherish the sacraments of our church, and to do it constantly as a way of living and being in the world. And God, we pray over all the trouble in the world and ask your presence in the midst of it all. We thank you, O God, for those things that are worthy of celebration. And we pray that you would make us keenly aware of the way you have gifted each and every one of us to bear witness to you in the world. Each one of us, O God, comes to this moment with a variety of joys and concerns, prayer lists that we keep. And so we take a moment to simply be and to be quiet in your presence so that we might have a sense that you are right here with us, that we could hear your still, small voice. We break our silence. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we thank you for the faith of previous generations. We thank you that in response to your ascension, in response to the counsel of the two men in the white robes, we thank you that Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Alphaeus, Simon, Judas, Mary, and the other women and Jesus' brothers, that they gathered together to pray. And we thank you that they shared with us a prayer that you taught them. Hear us, O Lord, as we say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Friends, as we move on from this moment together, I pray that we can find inspiration from these disciples and apostles, that we would move on from this holy moment and be inspired to pray, constantly in prayer, constantly naming God in all things, so that when we come to receive the gifts of God through the power of God's Holy Spirit, we are open and ready to say, "Here I am, Lord, choose me." That our God would choose us, our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who knows you and loves you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.